see me, and you're not looking that way, okay? And Tabitha's going to come up to do our reading now, which is on page 1210 of the Church Bibles. So if you'd like to follow along, it's page 1210, and we're looking at Hebrews chapter 12, and from verse 1.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Brilliant. Let's keep that open now, children. I've got three pictures for us. A sit in the sun, a play in the park, or a hard run. Now, which of those is the Christian life is like? Is it like playing in the park? Is it like sitting in the sun? Or is it like a hard run? It's a hard run, isn't it? Well done. It's a hard run. Run with perseverance the race marked out for us, says the Bible. Now, three things that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that if you're a Christian, you have to run all the time. Although I know some of you would quite like to do that, wouldn't you? It's saying that it's like a run. It's not saying that we're trying to beat everybody else, although I'm quite competitive. It's saying, actually, it's a different kind of race where we try and help each other so we all get to the finish line. And it's not a race to try to be really good and to get everything right, and then we might be able to get the gold medal of getting heaven from God. No, it's a race of trusting Jesus, who gives us heaven as a free gift. So it's a little bit different from lots of races, but it is like a race in that it's long and it's pretty hard. Now, who can tell me how you found running for a long way? Does anyone want to just tell me? What was hard about that? Was there anything hard about it? Yeah, what was hard about it?
That you had to try your best.
You have to try your best. Sorry, just say that into the microphone. That was really helpful.
You get really tired.
You get really tired. What else do you get?
You get more energy.
It can give you more energy, can't it? Yeah, did anyone get sweaty? Anyone get a little bit sweaty? Ooh. Georgia, you got sweaty?
Yeah.
Did anyone feel a bit tired here? Yeah, and where else do you get tired? You get a bit tired here. Well, do you know what? Following Jesus is really hard and tiring. And verse 3 tells us in our passage here that the first readers, these Hebrew Christians, were in danger of growing weary and losing heart. I'll tell you a story. Tess and I were on holiday in the Lake District, which is where this camp's going to be. And now, Tessa, the Lake District is a brilliant place for adventures and massive long walks. But Tessa's a much keener walker than me. So 5 days in, she had taken us up loads of mountains and round lakes on these massively long walks. And I think it was day 6 when we were out on a walk and I sat down on a rock and I said, I've had enough. I'm going home. I'm tired. And do you know what? I slept for 4 hours in the middle of the day. I'd grown weary and lost heart, which is kind of funny on a holiday. But it's not funny when Christian people lose heart and give up. They give up meeting with church or waiting for God's great promises or serving or praying or praising or actually caring about other people. And they say, I've had enough. That's really sad. But grown-ups will all know people who've done that. And children, some people who grow up as children in the church, they give up when they get a little older. And we don't want to do that. And God doesn't. And that's why he says, run with perseverance, with keeping goingness, the race marked out for us. And he wants to help us in his love. Now, when I'm out for a long run up on Lancing Ring, I need a map because I often get lost. And I sometimes need a snack and a you've just had a drink, haven't you? I need a drink to keep up the energy. And I need someone to run with me, to encourage me sometimes. And it's just like that, following Jesus. I've got four things that are going to help us. Here's number one. There it is. It's already up there. Can you say it with me? A clear map. Who can say that with me? A clear map. Have a look at verse 1, adults. It talks about the race marked out for us. So next door, what was your race marked out with? Cones. Okay, now we don't get that in the same way. But there is a race. The Christian life is marked out for us by God. And he tells us about it here in the Bible. It's like a map for us, not telling us the exact details of our lives. Turn right now. Turn left now. Do this, do that. Not so much that, but the big picture of our lives, of where we're heading. And do you know how that helps us, children? Maybe we're finding it really hard following Jesus. Maybe you're the only person who's doing that in your class. Okay? Maybe someone's laughed at you for that. Do you know, somebody laughed at me in the street the other day for being a Christian. It's not very nice. Maybe you prayed about something and it didn't happen. Or you just find it so hard to, like, not be mean and to listen to mum and dad and that sort of thing. And you think, I don't understand. What's gone wrong? I thought following Jesus was just really, really happy all the time. And God tells us here, no, I've marked out this plan, but it's not like a play in the park. It's not like a sit in the sun. What's it like? A hard race. I told you that, but it is a good path, the path marked out by me, that'll lead you to heaven. So you've got to keep going. So we need a clear map. And that's what we keep looking at on Sundays, isn't it? As we look at the Bible. Second thing we need is a cheering crowd. A bit like this.
Galen Rupp of the USA. Kenenisa Bekele looking for room on the inside. And Farrar is kicking hard. The crowd are lifting him. They're cheering him on. Farrar into the home straight. Just 100 metres to go. Has he got enough? He's kicking again.
That was Mo Farah winning the Olympic gold for Britain. And hundreds of people were in the crowd, weren't they? Cheering him on. Yeah! Now, did you know, children, that there is a great crowd of people, even bigger than that, cheering us on to run the Christian life? Verse 1, have a look back down. Since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, people like... Noah and Abraham, Jacob, Joshua, people like Moses and Ruth, people like Daniel, all the great heroes of faith that we read about last week from Hebrews chapter 11, they're in heaven now, and they're cheering us on saying, keep going, it's worth it. And as we kind of go, well, you know, this is just so hard, they go, yeah, we know. And you know, it cost us our lives, many of us, but it's worth it. Here are some more of a great crowd of Christians cheering us on. Alan Neal, Mike Claridge, Ruth Fisher, Sue Russell, Malcolm Brooks. Friends of ours who've gone ahead of us, and they're cheering us on. Keep going. It's worth it. Here are some more. If you ever read biographies of Christians in the past, John Calvin, D.L. Moody, Billy Graham, Corrie ten Boom, perhaps you've read about, that she resisted the Nazis. It's one of the reasons why it's great to read Christian biographies. If you've never read one, do take one of those later and borrow it. Because these are people who, they've gone ahead of us. And they're saying, keep going, it's worth it. Do you know what? As we gather as a church, we're being a cheering crowd to each other. Because on my own, I get pretty discouraged. I just want to sit down and go, I've had enough, and I just want to give up being a Christian on my own. But when I come to church and I hear you guys singing, it encourages me to keep going. Or when I'm in a Bible study group and people are saying, it's hard, but please pray for me and I'm going to pray for you. We're cheering each other on. Do you know, sometimes in church, we pretty much have to carry each other over the finish line, but no one gets left behind. That's what church is all about. A cheering crowd. Here's the third thing we need. A light load. Have a look back down at that passage if you can see it. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders, that slows us down. And the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, I've got three helpers here. Number one, here's Chris-O. I think, Chris, you haven't done the best job of this. So let's just add a little bit to this. Do you think, guys, that... hold on. Do you think Chris-O is ready for a race? Do you think he's ready for a race? Do you think he can do a good job running against you? Who thinks they could beat Chris-O? Harry, you think you can beat anyone. I think I could beat Chris. So what's wrong? We need to tie him up a bit more, don't we? But what's wrong? He's all tied up, isn't he? That's no good for running, Chris. So what are you doing? What are you doing, mate? Now, what did the Bible say can tie us up? Did anyone hear that? Ralph, just say it into the microphone so all the grown-ups can hear as well. Can you say it in a big loud voice? What can tie us up?
Sin,
the sin that can tie us up. Now, sin might be just being mean, or not sharing, or it might be, do you know, it might be not listening to mum and dad, and that can tangle us up, because if we don't listen to them, it'll probably get us in all sorts of trouble, actually, as we get older, but it'll also stop us ever wanting to listen to God, probably. Sin could be just trying to fit in with everyone else. You just want to fit in, and that can tangle you up, because if you just want to fit in with them, well, actually, it could lead you some pretty bad places. But also, you're not going to want to follow Jesus and fit in with him. And so what do we need to do with that, guys? With the sin that entangles us, we need to throw it off. Let's throw it off. Well done. Now, just adults, as we listen, and this is an all-age service, and I always want to speak to you. What is it that's tangling you up at the moment? I'm very struck by the words in that passage. So easily entangles, so easily, so that we don't need to be an addict to get trapped and caught up with thoughts that we shouldn't really be thinking, or a particular lifestyle that we just slip into, or things that we shouldn't be looking at that we're looking at, or life decisions that just lead us astray. We get caught up, and what we need to do is to it off. Children, do you know what bindweed is? Anyone know what bindweed is? It's a little weed, isn't it, that starts really small and it grows like a snake right around the plant. And what you need to do is about this time of the year, you go out in the garden and you've got to get the roots and you dig it up and you don't let it tangle you up. And that's what we need to do with sin as it takes hold. We've got to throw it off. Okay, we throw off sin. Here's a second helper. Here's Tim. Now, children, do you think that Tim looks like he's ready for a really long marathon race? Yeah. Do you think he looks like he's ready? Yeah. No. Who said no? No. Georgia, why is Tim not ready? He's loaded down with massive bags, isn't he? And he's actually quite weak, Tim, as well. So you can see that he's really struggling. He's really struggling. Now, adults, these are things that are not necessarily bad. Because it talks about the sin, and then it says, and the things that so easily entangle us, the things that hinder us. You see that in the passage? Throw off our sin and the things. So these are good things that become too big in our lives, and that hinder, that slow us down following Jesus. Now, It might be some of us just love keeping up with friends and the news. And so first thing in the morning, rather than picking up a Bible and praying like we perhaps might have used to have done just for a few minutes, first thing in the morning, what comes out? This. And do you know, that's a pretty good use of a phone, actually. There's a lot of really stupid uses of phones. But keeping up with friends in the news isn't a bad one. But it's stopping you from keeping up with God, actually. It's hindering you. And so what do you need to do? You need to throw it off. Maybe not throw it away, but you could just not switch it on until 8:30 or whenever, couldn't you? I had to do that. It's hindering me. It could be children. It could be birthday parties. I love birthday parties. And we want to go along and have a lot of fun with our friends. But if they're all on a Sunday morning, then maybe you could understand why your mum and dad might say no to a few of them. Because if we're away every week, it makes it really hard to run and keep following Jesus, doesn't it? It might be all sorts of things that become too big. It could be a hobby. It could be computer games or box sets. It could be tidying the house meticulously so that at any moment you go, well, I've got to go and do that instead. It could be competitive sports. That was the issue for me as a teenager. So that these are all really good things, but if they become so big that there is no space for a relationship with God, then they hinder and we need to do something about it. You see, we want a light load. So let's have our last helper. I was thinking we need an example of a supreme athlete here. And so here's David. Is he ready for a run, guys? Let's see him jogging. Let's just see him jogging around, shall we? Let's have him just jog around. David didn't know I was going to make him do this. But look, he's ready, isn't he? Is he ready? Should we cheer him on? David, 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 David. He hasn't got any sin that's tangling him up, and he hasn't got anything that's loading him down. He's ready for the race marked out for him. Thank you very much. Let's get these guys to take a seat. You're done. Right, children, I've got one more thing that I want to share with us. But first of all, when I'm out for a run, I need a snack. And Margaret has baked these lovely sticky buns. And so some of the adults want some, but you're not getting a piece of it. It's just for the children. Let's come and get one of those while I keep sharing, okay? Can I ask, I'm going to ask Ellie and Kate to give those out. Now, folks, let's keep concentrating. And there's one more thing that we need. We need a clear map. We need a cheering crowd. We need a light load. And we need our eyes fixed on Jesus. Verse 2, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Now, we can't see Jesus now. We can't see him now. But we can focus our attention on him. It's actually quite hard to do, isn't it, when you've got all this going on? But we can. And it kind of represents life in many ways, doesn't it? Because there's always something immediate in front of us. And the call here is to fix your attention and your focus and your trust and your love on Jesus. That's what the Bible means by fix your eyes on him. And that's what we want to be about as a church, by the way. If you're just kind of looking in, you're trying to work out what we are, the whole book of Hebrews is calling out to us not to be focused just on tradition and being religious, but to be focused on Jesus and a trust in him and receiving from him and growing in our relationship and likeness of him. Might be you're not a Christian, though, here today, and you're kind of going, well, why on earth would you actually focus on this guy from 2,000 years ago? Well, I understand that question. Now, of course, we all end up living for something, don't we? But why Jesus? Well, the verses give us three reasons. They're up on the screen there. First of all, he's our perfect pioneer. He's our perfect pioneer. Now, a pioneer is someone who goes first. So, children, I want you to imagine that up that vent there, right up there, let's just wait a moment. Jesse's done very well, hasn't he? Done very well. A pioneer is someone who goes first. So children, can you see that big vent up there? Yeah? Imagine if through that vent was the secret treasure of the tap. Okay? But someone needs to go and climb a big ladder and then get through the vent and past all the cobwebs and down the deep, dingy tunnel that goes who knows where, a great maze, to the treasure. And so I kind of think that we'd probably send someone like, I don't know, maybe we'd send Jacob first, or maybe we'd send Harry first, or maybe Rufus, okay? And they're the pioneer. And if Harry got down up the ladder and through all those cobwebs and down the dungy maze of dark corridors, and he got the treasure, which is actually a whole load of gold bars and chocolate and sweets that's all been hidden by someone at some point down there, and he comes back with them in his hands, then we'd all think, he's our pioneer. He can get us there. We can follow him. And Jesus Christ is the pioneer, the only person who's ever gone through death and sin and darkness and come out the other side because he rose again from the dead. And so as we put our trust in him, he can take us through. He's the perfect pioneer. Second, he's the joyful Savior. For the joy set before him, we read, for the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Now, right from Adam and Eve, humanity has been marked by shame. What did they do? They wanted to cover themselves, didn't they? And we're marked with this feeling that I'm not quite right, and I'm not the person I should be, and so I need to pretend or cover up, or I feel low about myself, or I struggle to let other people close, or I get defensive, or I just need to prove myself one way or another. We're marked by shame. And much shame, of course, is unhealthy, but some is right. Because we are not the people that we know we should be, and not the people that God made us to be because of sin. I'm not, and you're not. And one day we will face God and his scrutiny and judgment. You see what the verse says? He endured the cross, Jesus did, scorning its shame. Jesus Christ took our sin and shame, and he took away our punishment completely, so that you and I can go free. Wow! Now, why did he do that? I wonder if one of the grown-ups can shout out for us. Why did Jesus do that, according to the verse? For the? Because he loved us, and? For the joy. For the joy. For the sheer joy of saving you or I. He did it. Do you know, Jesus told some stories, didn't he, about lost sheep, children, and lost coins, and a lost son. And when they were found, what happened? There was a great party. And what we're seeing here is that it's not just the angels who got excited, but Jesus and his Father and the Holy Spirit lead the joy as lost people were saved. Jesus has such a joy over you and I being in heaven. I've got a few pots of joy. Which one's mine? Here's my pot of joy. These are things that give me joy. Let's stay where you are. Stay where you are, otherwise. Okay, here's number one. I love a bit of sport. That brings me joy. I love presents. That brings me joy. Just put your hand up if you feel the same as me. Okay? I love being out on the water. That brings me joy. I love, do you know what that is? Chocolate. I love chocolate. That brings me joy.
I love chocolate.
Now let's have a look in Jesus' pot of joy. This is Jesus' pot of joy. Who's that? That's Grayson. Grayson. That's Katie. Katie's in Jesus' pot of joy. Emma is in Jesus' pot of joy. Look at these three mugs. Can you believe it? We We bring joy to Jesus.
It's me.
I haven't got everyone here, but we could definitely have. Who are those?
Gilbert.
In our house. Do you know who else is in there? You guys pray for her quite often in your groups. Who's that? Diane. Who else have we got? Ah. Would you like to take that one? That's you. I should have put everybody in there, shouldn't I? Now, this takes quite a lot of getting your head around, doesn't it? That the infinite God of the universe would take joy and delight in us and would say, I would do anything at all, even go to the cross, that I could have the enjoyment of your company in my heaven forever and ever. He's our joyful Savior. And the final thing, we haven't really got time for it, is to think that Jesus is our seated King. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, the place of absolute power. And so as we go to Jesus with weak and wobbly knees, he can hold us. And maybe there are a few of us who are actually nearing the end of the race who just need to focus on that aspect of Jesus. He's the seated King. He can hold on to you. He can get you through to the end. Or as our last song puts it, Jesus will lead us safe to shore. Now here's the one thing I want for you, everyone. That we just persevere. We just persevere. One more week. We keep going. Let's be quiet. Children, why don't you go and sit back down, and we're going to sing My Lighthouse to finish.